The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. So, you and your wife, your children are attending a wedding, and you stand up and turn around and watch the bride come in her radiant gown, and everyone's smiling. It's a big festive occasion. And then you sit down and continue on through the service, and it's time for the exchange of vows. And the bride and groom are standing up there in front of everyone. And if you're a male, your wife takes your hand, and if you're a female, you may take your husband's hand, and you may look at him lovingly during the exchange of vows, and you're thinking back about, you know, what it was like when you got married. You're remembering that, or maybe the wife is thinking, why did I ever marry this guy? That was a joke. You know, we do remember on occasions like that other people's festivities, other people's ceremonies do remind us of when we went through those earlier. Now, when you witness a baptism, when a child is brought to baptism, you have the opportunity to remember when your child was baptized and the vows and promises that you made before God to raise that child up in the holy Christian faith, to see that that child was instructed in the faith, brought to confirmation, and came to the sacrament of the altar. Or if you were a sponsor, maybe you remember assisting the parents of that child to do those things. Here's one thing else you should remember. Your own baptism into the name of the triune God, into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You look at someone else's baptism, and that is an opportunity to recall what God graciously did for you. Paul says in Romans 6, baptism is a death and burial and a resurrection. We die with Christ in our baptism. We are buried with Christ in our baptism. We, through the grace of God, are raised up to a new life and a new status before God in our baptism as His own dear, beloved, redeemed children, not for our sake, but for God's sake. And then confirmation. Today, Reagan is confirmed. Now, we can approach that as just, you know, a family rite, a nice little churchly ritual, et cetera, an opportunity to take pictures, to give Reagan some gifts, to eat some cake and peanuts and drink some punch afterward. But it is so very much more than that. Because today, this young man who has been instructed in the faith for 2 years in a formal process, and whose parents brought him to baptism when he was, what, 3 weeks, 3 months old? They have been instructing him all along in the faith. Today, he has the opportunity, the privilege, the joy, and also the burden of confessing his faith in Christ before this congregation. But it doesn't stop there. The triune God, who has nurtured Reagan and shielded him and brought him up in the faith for all these years, is looking upon him too and looking upon us with delight and joy, because Reagan is confessing Christ. And Jesus says that unless a man confesses me before other men, I will not confess him before my Father in heaven. So this is a great occasion for Reagan. Also, all the company of heaven look upon this event with joy and with delight, because they too confessed Christ in their earthly lives. They too had the opportunity to speak his name and to say, I belong to the triune God because Jesus is my Savior who died for me and forgave me all my sins, has redeemed me and given me eternal life. Someone else looks upon this confession of faith that Reagan will make today. And this other witness to his confirmation is not looking upon Reagan with favor and with joy and with delight. For the devil who prowls around like a roaring lion also looks upon Reagan's confirmation and confession with disdain, with despisal, with hatred, with the desire to destroy him and subvert his confession of faith in Jesus. Jesus says that where the seed of the word is sown, there is also the devil seeking to snatch that seed away from other people's hearts so that it will not take root and grow. That is true of you as well, and me as well. Every time the word is proclaimed, the devil is there seeking to distract us, seeking to make us think, oh, that's ridiculous. I don't believe what he says. Well, if it is in the word of God, you and I are to believe it. We are not to reject it. And that is exactly what the Holy Spirit warns us against in today's gospel reading and also today's Old Testament reading from Ezekiel. Hearing the word of God and despising it, receiving it not in faith, not in repentance, but as just a mere word, background music, something we can listen to, something we can take, or something we can leave. Jesus appears in his hometown of Nazareth, his hometown where he grew up, the place everybody knows him. His disciples are with him, and as was his custom, he goes to the synagogue there in Nazareth, his home congregation. And he begins to teach there in the synagogue. Mark tells us that many who heard him were astonished, and they're loaded with questions. Where did this man get these things that he say? What is this wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Hey, this is just the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon. His sisters are here with us. And they don't rejoice that Jesus is teaching these things. They are astonished with the astonishment of unbelief. And they take offense at Jesus. They are offended by him. He is a stumbling block to them. They don't want to hear what he has to say. Now, Jesus is the incarnate Word of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Creed teaches us and Scripture tells us, is the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Word made flesh, come down from heaven for us and our salvation. He is the one who speaks the words of eternal life. To reject his word is to reject Jesus, and to reject Jesus is to reject the forgiveness, life, and salvation that he gives. They took offense at Jesus. The word was spoken. They didn't want it. So Jesus addresses them. He names himself a prophet, a spokesman of God's word. He says, a prophet is honored for the sake of the word he brings, except in his hometown, and except among his relatives, and except among those of his own household. Paul speaks of knowing Jesus merely according to the flesh and not by the Spirit. To know Jesus according to the flesh is to say, hey, he grew up among us. Hey, yeah, he's a son of God, he's a savior, yeah, yada, 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 yada. But what difference does that make to me? To receive Jesus, however, in faith, is to receive as God's gift the forgiveness Jesus came to bring, the salvation, the rescue from sin, death, and hell that Jesus came to bring. It is to become a child of God, St. John writes, a child not born of human parents, or any will or decision of our own, or of fleshly lust, but a child of God born from God Himself. And that is not what happened among the good synagogue-going folks of Nazareth. They were astonished at Jesus, at what He taught, and He was astonished. He marveled because of their unbelief. So He left that place. He departed from there. The Word made flesh, the Word of grace and life and peace and forgiveness, departed from there, and He went about among the villages teaching and preaching the same message. I am God come among you. I am Emmanuel. I am God with you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But it didn't stop there. Jesus calls the 12 and He begins to send them out two by two. He gives them authority over unclean spirits. That means authority over all the forces of hell that would subvert the gospel, that would destroy it, that would snatch it away from people, that would corrupt it, adulterate it, dilute it so that people may not hear the truth and may not believe. He charges them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts. Wear sandals, put on tunics, traveling clothing, travel light. Be ready to preach. Trust in God's provision, Jesus is saying. And He says to them, and this parallels His experience at the synagogue in Nazareth. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. Bring the message of salvation to those who gather to hear, to those who receive you. Trust upon them that God will use them to provide for you. Preach the word in season and in out. Proclaim the word of salvation, the word about me, Jesus is telling them. But if any place will not receive you, if they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. When a Jew had gone into Gentile territory and came back into Jewish territory, took his sandals off, shook the dust off of those sandals so he wouldn't bring any pagan dust into Jewish territory. Well, they have rejected you, Jesus is saying. They have rejected your word. Shaking the dust off of your feet is a testimony to them that they haven't rejected you. They have rejected me. And so they went out, charged by Jesus, and proclaimed that people should repent. They should recognize their sin. They should recognize their unbelief. They should turn from their sin and receive Christ, the one who came among them to suffer and die and who was present for them in His Word, just as He is present here among you in His Word this day. And in the grace of your baptism, which you entered into, and in the sacrament of His body and blood in Holy Communion, which Reagan will partake of for the first time today as a confirmed member here at Mount Olive. It is these things, the word and sacraments of God, of the gospel, that overcome the devil It is these things by which the Holy Spirit, in which the Holy Spirit is active, to overcome your sin and my sin and your unbelief and my unbelief and your unrepentance and my unrepentance, and to bring us to Christ. If we turn away from these things, which our sinful nature is wont to make us do, and the world and the devil certainly want us to do, there is no Christ for us. There is no forgiveness for us. There is no life for us. We are accursed by God. Ezekiel went forth, commissioned by God, to proclaim God's word. And God warned him flat out that he was sending Ezekiel to a rebellious house, to those who did not want to hear the word. But nonetheless, Ezekiel was to go. He was to go and say, "Thus saith the Lord." That is the message that has been proclaimed to Reagan during his 2 years of instruction. It's a message proclaimed every Sunday from this pulpit. It's a message that we here are to hear. By nature, we are sinful and unclean. By nature, we do despise God's word. It is only by the grace of God that we are able to believe. Reagan, and many of you could say it with me, "I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." And it's not just for me. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. Now, Reagan, you are weak because of your sin. Same as me. You're going to make vows and promises before this altar today, before God, before the whole congregation, before the whole company of heaven, and before all the devils in hell. And you cannot fulfill those promises and vows in your own strength. You, like Paul, are weak. But if you acknowledge your weakness and trust in Christ, who suffered for you and died for you and was raised again for you and ascended to the right hand of God for you and is present for you in his word and in his sacraments, then you are strong in Christ. And so as you make your promises, you will say such things as, "I will, with the help of God." With the help of the gracious God who has made us his own children in the gospel, that is the only way any of us are able to stand. It is the only way any of us are able to remain true to our baptismal vows, our confirmation vows, our wedding vows, any vows we make before God, as God himself gives us strength through Christ, who experienced weakness for us on the cross, but who was raised again with glory for our justification and our salvation, and has not left us as orphans, but is Emmanuel. He is God with us in his word, with us in the sacraments, with us in his spirit, to enable us to confess him and to be bold. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.